Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. I'm here again with Dr. Forrester. We're ready to just dive right back into a passage we began yesterday. But we are much better prepared today because we have Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And Dr. Forrester, I'm not quite at your level yet. I don't drink it with sugar. I do keep cream, but you drink it straight black.
I do, like a real man. And I'm sure it'll be a point where you can do the same. Mm.
I'm hoping to get to that point, but I guess I'm just not that old yet. But hey, Luke chapter 21, we laid some background yesterday, and I don't want you to tune out, because I know that we threw a bunch of terms at you about end time events, and we talked about, you know, Daniel's prophecy and the abomination of desolation. We talked about Daniel's 70th week, and these are all terms that some of you are familiar with that have studied end time events. Others of you might be saying, you know, that's why I don't like these passages, because I don't understand them. Hey, hang in there. We're going to help you to understand, what is Jesus saying, what he's making some of these predictions. Now, I love what Dr. Forrester said yesterday when he said that, you know, Luke, although Luke and Matthew are talking about the same event in quoting Jesus, the Olivet Discourse, the emphasis in Luke centers more on some of the immediate things that are going to happen. And Matthew takes a more of a panoramic view of the age. And so let's look again at Luke chapter 21 and verse 12, where it said, before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you. So before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. So Jesus said, in the next 40 years, here are some things that you ought to be expecting. And he's talking to his apostles. And here are some of the things, Dr. Forrester. He said they're going to persecute you. Okay, so they're going to lay their hands on you. So did that happen?
It did. As a matter of fact, we can read about much of this in the book of Acts.
Sure. So you think about Peter and John that were hauled in before the Sanhedrin Council in chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Acts. You can look at the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. Of course, Paul, you could talk about his imprisonment at Caesarea, his imprisonment in Rome. So all of this happened. They shall lay their hands on, they shall persecute you. Did that happen?
It did, over and over again. We have the persecutions, you know, of Acts chapter 8 and so forth.
Yeah, so persecutions of Acts chapter 8, then of course localized persecutions. Mm-hmm. You think about Lystra, where the Apostle Paul was stoned and left for dead. I would call that persecution.
Right.
So Jesus is making these predictions. Hey, they'll deliver you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, which I find interesting. In other words, there's going to be religious persecution. There would be synagogues, religious leadership, and there's going to be political persecution and the prisons. And do we find that?
We do, absolutely. We have him being called before the Sanhedrin, and we have, that is the Apostle Paul, and also him being brought before the governors and the magistrates.
Interesting that, you know, Peter and John, we talk about, when is civil disobedience justified? And certainly there is a justification for civil disobedience when we obey the higher power. But it's interesting that Peter and John, their persecution was more religious. It was the Jewish ruling body that took umbrage with their preaching of Christ. The Roman government kind of left them alone. Would you agree with that,
Dr. Forrester? No, that's very true, that the Romans really did not want to get involved with the affairs of the various sects and religions in different places. And so they were doing their best to stay out of those issues. But the Sanhedrin, which were kind of the local authorities and the religious leaders and had political power in that sense, but they were the ones that really wanted to stamp out Christianity, to get rid of this doctrine before it took root.
And I find it's very interesting, Dr. Forrester, because really the persecution that that people face today is really more of the relational and religious persecution than it is necessarily governmental, statewide persecution.
Correct. And matter of fact, persecution in different places, different eras. In other words, we say, well, back in those days, it was this way. Well, in other parts of the world right now, it would be huge religious persecution from certain religions that are persecuting Christians in other parts of the world. And then also in other parts of the world, it's governments that are coming down with a very heavy hand on Christians. But in America, it's mostly our friends and cohorts and kind of the social persecution and ostracism that most of us have never really experienced genuine persecution, either on the religious level, that is religious authorities actually being able to take action against us. We have very little of that, and matter of fact, maybe none. And politically, it's going to be very light, too, because of our Constitution and our religious liberty. But we do feel the ostracism of family and he mentions that, in these passages and of friends that are going to separate us, because of our love for Christ and our witness.
Sure. And we're going to get exactly to the point you just made. Think about just how amazing this prophecy of the Lord is. So think about Jesus, who really never ventured outside of his little area, his little country. I know he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, but really, he stayed localized his entire ministry.
Right.
And he's saying to these blue-collar followers, you're going to stand before kings and rulers. I mean, that's an audacious prediction, and yet all of it happened. You think about the Apostle Paul appealing to Caesar. You think about him standing before Felix and Festus and Agrippa. And I mean, you think about these apostles that really scattered throughout the entire world, and the influence of the gospel in that 40-year period of time is just unbelievable.
No, it is. And of course, they didn't know that it was only 40 years. But these are, when we talk about the Bible time frame, this is very quick. Within the lifespan of the average person that would have been living at that point.
Sure. Think about, my friends, the New Testament. Really, when you think about the New Testament, really, you're thinking about 90 years. If you talk about the beginning of the Gospels with the announcement of the birth of John to John the Revelator, a different John the Beloved, writing the book of Revelation, you're really talking about 90 years of history that encompasses the New Testament. You think about 30 years being the Gospels, 30 years being the book of Acts, and 30 years being post the book of Acts. It's not a long period of time, but what God accomplished in and through the lives of these Jesus followers is amazing. And really, verse 13 speaks to that when it says, "It shall turn to you for a testimony." So all of this persecution, all of this imprisonment, all of the stripes upon your back, all of these unfair trials are going to turn to your testimony. And that's really the story of the gospel, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a dynamic story. We really have the New Testament is full of action, full of wonderful blessings of the Lord, but also the great sacrifices that are made by believers and the persecutions that they endured, which all of this strengthens us, and all of this helps us to be better Christians, to live for the Lord, to take a stand when we need to take a stand. This is good.
I think that a great example of it shall turn to your testimony is just the Apostle Paul's testimony about his imprisonment in Rome when he wrote to Philippians and said, listen, my friends, this is happening for the furtherance of the gospel. The gospel is being exponentialized in this imprisonment. So Jesus, making these predictions, said, yeah, I know it's going to seem bad, kind of like a Joseph thing. They're going to mean this for evil, but I'm going to use this as a megaphone for the gospel message. And he certainly did.
He did. And it, it sets the scene for the future, but we want to understand, that it's possible even within our own lifetime, for our society to change in such a way that that we see a greater persecution within our own country. We do not want that, but we do need to be prepared. We need to be ready. We need to have fortified our faith to the place that when challenges may come to us, whether it's friends or family or the religious leaders or the prevailing philosophy, and I think we've really faced that in our country right now, where the prevailing philosophies of the world and of the educated and the scientific minded and so forth that they look down on and would love to stamp out the teachings of Christ. We've got to be ready to stand for Him. We need to have the answer when called upon.
Tribulation, my friends, and persecution, these are part and parcel to the Christian life. And you might see it as a trial because of your limited perspective. And I might see it as trouble from my limited perspective. But notice what the Lord said here. The Lord said, God will turn this for your testimony. And so I would just encourage you today, whatever you're facing, you might be misunderstood. You might be falsely accused. You might be going through some kind of physical opposition or even trial or pain. And you might look at it just through that lens. Can I just encourage you today to look through it through the lens that Jesus gave us, that God can turn this for your testimony. A doctor is watching. A coworker is watching. A family member is taking notice. And God can use this in your life to give glory to Himself and to turn people to the gospel. I hope that helps, my friends. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, know that you have a friend here in Fredericksburg, Virginia. We love you. We thank God for you. Have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.